Hello and welcome to today's edition of Family Life Today, hosted by Dave and Anne Wilson. Family Life Today is presented by Power to Change, known in the US as Family Life. We hope the program will encourage you in your most important relationships.
So we're going on the water today.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're talking about the Love Like You Mean It cruise that we were on last February. And we're going to hear a talk today from one of our favorite ever guests on Family Life Today and authors and speakers, Brant Hansen. And this was the talk he gave to men. We had a men's sort of breakout split session and a women's. And this was Brant talking to the men.
If you ask people in our culture, define masculinity, they can't. They'll only be like, well, there's toxic masculinity. Okay, got it. We shouldn't use our strength and power to like be toxic, overwhelm people. Got it. But what's the good side of it? Distinctly good. Even churches, I found, guys, can't articulate that. What's distinctly masculine and good? They'll say like, well, it's masculine to follow Jesus. True, that's women too. But what's distinctly masculine that's beautiful? And unfortunately, like I've been part of church groups where they can't say it. What is it? We need to have something, some vision for masculinity. So that's what this book is about. And I think maybe I'm the right guy to write this because I'm not good at hunting. And I'm not good at other stuff like that. Like, because there's got to be something deeper than just, it's a men's group, so we're going to study the Bible and then have steak. Like, steak is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But there's got to be something deeper, more masculine than that. Because some guys are accountants, some people are professors, they're like, we all have different jobs. We're not all hunting in the woods every day. What does masculinity look like in your context right where you are? So this is what was really weird. When I went to college, they had a Christian women's house and they gave us a tour around there. And at the time, every girl's room had the same poster in it. It was really weird. This is the best-selling poster of all time. It's called L'Enfant. So I was like, okay, I know that guy's good looking, I'm sure, but why is this in every room? And I asked one of the girls in college, and I was like, what's up with this guy? What's up with this photo of this guy? And she said, oh, he's cute, but it's not him. It's the way the baby is looking at him. You could tell the baby feels secure with him. That's hot. And as a impressionable young teenager, I was like 17. I'm like, I'm going to remember this. Why do all women seem to resonate with a guy who makes vulnerable people feel secure? What is it about that? I think that's really interesting. We are at our best, gentlemen, when we make people around us feel secure. That's it. And it's very interesting too, because let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Do you remember the job that Adam was given? Specifically Adam. Remember what his job was? Keeper of the garden. He's the protector of the garden. He's the one in charge of cultivating what's inside the garden. This is uniquely given to the man as a role. Women can do it, but we're made for it. So what I'm saying in this book is that your garden is your sphere of influence. And everybody within that sphere of influence should feel secure. Anyone vulnerable should feel secure. They should not feel threatened. Talking about your wife, talking about your kids, talking about people in your neighborhood. We have failed if we make people less secure. We betrayed our role if they're less secure. And I'm not just talking about flexing. See, this is a big problem. Like some guys will be like, see, I'm jacked. So my wife has to feel secure. Plus, I got this big truck. I've got a number of guns. Like, okay, that's cool. But actually, you know what? You might be jacked. You might spend 3 hours a day in the gym. You might be handsome. You might have all the coolest stuff. If you make your wife feel insecure, let's say you flirt with other women every now and then. She feels more insecure because you're there. She's not attracted to you. In fact, she'll resent your muscles. Do you know that? All the masculine stuff, like, if it's not making her feel more secure, it's resentful, it's not attractive. Conversely, and here's where it gets to be really awesome news, you guys. You can be out of shape. You don't have to have a giant truck. You don't have to be incredible with guns or axe throwing or whatever. Like, here's the thing. You can be all that. If you make your wife feel more secure, if she's secure around you, you're attractive to her. That's a fact. This is the key. There's something instinctive about the way a woman draws out what we're supposed to be. And it's the keeper of the garden. Here's the other thing about being a keeper of the garden. It's not just protector of the garden, right? If you really understand a wild garden or someone who attends to that garden, you cultivate the vulnerable species within that garden are able to survive and flourish and bloom because you're there. They get to flourish and bloom. Species that were they in the wild would be choked out, would die. But because you're there, they get to bloom and become everything they could have been. Your wife, your kids, the vulnerable around you get to flourish because you treat your sphere of influence like it's a garden. You're there to protect the vulnerable. You know what? You should tell your sons this, by the way. If you have sons, tell them this is their role, because guys have no idea. They have no vision for masculinity. But when you tell them this, even if they're 9 years old, they'll be like, oh, got it. And it also actually lights a fire inside. I'm like, I got it. I can do this. Like, even with my words, I can make people more secure. There are guys, by the way, who will be like, oh, I defend our household. I mean, if any intruder came in, I would, you know, kill for my wife. I read one guy saying, yeah, I used to pat myself on the back for being somebody who would defend the home if I had to. And then I realized it doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, the intruder is me. With my words, with my sarcasm, the way I don't respond to my wife. So you can curse your wife without saying anything. You can just pause for a second and it's a curse. You know this, tone of voice. I have had to work on my tone of voice for 33 years, but I've gotten better. But see, you're the threat. And this guy said, I realize that I'm actually the threat that needs to be defended against. My wife needs defense against me and my attitude. And you know what also makes women feel really insecure? And Adam is guilty of this. Passivity. If you're not engaged, if she doesn't think that you'd be willing to engage, like, that makes her feel insecure. So there's toxic masculinity on one side, which is the abusive kind. The other toxic masculinity is toxic passivity. And if you talk to counselors, they'll tell you they see that more often than anything else. It's just, yes, dear, I just want to focus on my iPad. Yes, dear, I get it. But we have to fight that. That makes women feel insecure too.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to a talk Brant Hansen gave on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. And honestly, I just wanted to take a quick minute to jump in and say, whatever you're going through today, listen to this, you aren't alone. I don't know if you know this, but Dave and I have a team at Family Life Today ready to pray for you. It's this incredible honor and privilege just to lift your name up to God. So if you need prayer, please, please reach out to us. You can head on over to familylife.com/prayforme. Again, that's familylife.com/prayforme. And tell us, how can we pray for you? And we're not kidding. Dave and I have a prayer team specifically dedicated to praying for our listeners, praying for you.
You are not alone. We would love to lift you up by name. So again, go to familylife.com/prayforme and we will pray for you today.
This is Family Life Today, and we've been listening to a talk Brant Hansen gave on the Love Like You Mean It cruise. Why don't men step in and step up?
Well, I think Brant's going to tell us, because we're only halfway through this talk, and so we're going to go back and hear more from Brant Hansen.
When I was writing this, The Men We Need, we had this ruckus outside our house. We live in this townhouse. It was like 11 o'clock at night. We could hear it. We're up in the second story of our townhouse going to bed. And there's a bunch of people wrestling or tussling or raising a ruckus outside, like a big group of people out in the street. Carolyn was looking out the window. She's like, what's going on? This makes me nervous. And I was like, don't worry. Let's just turn the noisemaker up louder and then we'll be fine. Like, problem solved. So I'm lying there and she gets up again and she goes downstairs now. And I'm in the bedroom by myself. She's obviously nervous. And I was like, Brant, good grief. You're lying in bed. So I put clothes on. I went downstairs and I went out the front door to confront this big group of whoever. And as I went out the door, you guys, they dispersed. And I promise you, I don't even think they saw me. I don't. I think I just happened to walk out at the exact right time. But I just went out the door to confront them and they dispersed. And then I turned around and I started heading back in the door. And my wife was like, that was hot. I told her, I don't think they even saw me. They were dispersing. I didn't even do anything. And she said, yeah, but you were willing to. That's hot. You know, it was really weird. Like, I was working on the radio in South Florida. We got hit by several hurricanes in a row years ago. But I had women calling in. One woman called in and said, you know what? My husband's out putting up the shutters. And I just find that incredibly attractive. Putting up the shutters to protect the home. And I was like, really? That's interesting. And then I was flooded, you guys, with calls. All these women go, me too. It's the strangest thing. I see my husband putting up shutters. It's like, wow. It's because you're showing that you're willing to do it. Are you guys tracking with me? Okay, so I think this is the core. This keeper of the garden thing is what we're made for. I really do. And we need to communicate this to people clearly, younger guys, so that they know what it is. I didn't even think about this. We have a boy and a girl. They're growing up now. But our son was picking on our daughter. His name is Justice. And Julia was in the back room going, Justice, stop it, Justice. And I was like, enough. I went back there and I was like, Justice, you realize you're the problem. I have to defend your sister against you. You're supposed to defend your sister. You're her defender. You defend the vulnerable. She's your little sister. And I have to come defend her against you. You betrayed your role. He's 9. That just came out of my mouth. I wasn't even thinking that much, but I was like, yeah, you're supposed to. And you know what? I honestly don't think we had an incident after that. Like, he got it. Little boys will get this. Men get this because it's what we're made for. This is a good thing. Being a keeper of the garden doesn't mean you own anyone. It means you're here to make people secure. Not bad guys. See, and by defending the vulnerable against people who are genuinely evil, you make them more secure because you're here. That's what I tell like younger guys. You're 20, 21, 24 years old. You got testosterone going crazy. You're at your athletic peak. You're strong. You're fast. Like, that's supposed to be so you can defend the vulnerable, not prey on them. If they see a young guy in a neighborhood who's 21 years old, maybe a group of them, what should happen, if they know what their role is, people should go, oh man, I'm so glad they're here. This neighborhood's safer because these guys are here. Instead, guys don't know what they're supposed to be doing, so they prey on people. They're not given a vision. And an even bigger problem with young guys, you know this too, they'll just shut themselves in with video games and porn and not do anything in life because they haven't been given a vision for how they're supposed to live. Like, look, you have a role in this world. I asked a question in the book. I pitched a hypothetical guy named Jake. And you should ask, if you teach kids, you teach young guys or older guys, ask him this question. Let's say Jake is just indoors all day. He just plays video games. He doesn't bother anybody. And he's happy doing that. And he spends his days, his weeks, his years as a shut-in playing video games. He's not bothering anybody. Is there anything wrong with that? See, most people in our culture can't articulate what's wrong with that. If he's happy, not bothering anybody. But we can. Because we're like, yeah, there's something wrong with that, Jake. We needed you out here. God gave you skills and abilities and talents in a context for a reason. And we're missing out on you because you're in here. We needed you. There's an actual vision for masculinity here. And our society suffers when people don't know what it is. So we have to articulate that to people and tell them, this is our role. By the way, let me give you an example. This guy was in the news. There's a gentleman climbing up from story to story. The person dangling there is 4 years old. It's a four-year-old boy. This is on the streets of Paris. It wasn't that long ago. You may have seen this in the news. So he's dangling up there. There's a crowd on the street like, oh my goodness, the poor little boy. They're gasping. Like, what's going to happen? This poor little boy. Oh, no, no, no. What's happening? Well, this immigrant from Mali, this is in Paris, is like, I'll take care of this. He starts climbing up and swinging up from one to the next, like getting up on the next balcony. He gets all the way up and gets on the balcony and pulls the kid to safety. Now, that's pretty cool. And I'll ask women, like, is he attractive? Oh, yes. Like, you can't even see him. It doesn't matter. See what I mean? But I'll tell you what, there's another guy involved in this story. You can't see him because he's just inside the sliding glass doors on the floor with that boy. And that's the boy's dad who was playing video games. I love video games. So there's nothing wrong implicitly with video games, but I'll tell you what, you ask a woman, is that guy attractive? No, he's a failure. He's not protecting the vulnerable. Like the guy from Mali, I thought this was cool. He actually gave him a citizenship and like that honorary medal from the president of France. I thought that was really cool for doing what he did. Here's another example. I just think it's interesting because those stories resonate in the media. Because people are like, oh, that's what men are for. Make us more secure. Yes, right. And that should be our indicator. I didn't write the book. I tell guys, look, I'm not writing this book so that you can be attractive to women. I want you to know that there's a God-given reason for what you're given as a man. And it's beautiful. And it's good. Even if nobody else can articulate it, we know what it is. And it's good. Your strength is good. It's just all about being a keeper of the garden. That original job, which Adam failed to do. Remember, he's with Eve. By the way, I always thought when Satan was tempting Eve that Adam was far away somewhere, like naming animals or something. I don't know what he's doing, right? You read it in context. Check this out. Read it today. It sounds exactly like he's right there with her the whole time. Right there. And he does nothing. He's supposed to defend this area from the enemy, and he does nothing. And then he can't even get the fruit himself. She has to hand it to him. I don't know if he's like lying down or what. Like, he's so passive. And then when they've sinned, maybe you remember this, God comes into the garden, and what does he say? Adam, where are you? I made you the keeper of the garden. Where are you? You were supposed to defend this place. She was supposed to flourish because of you. Everything's supposed to, like, this is your job. So I do feel like in my field or whatever I do, like, I want to defend the vulnerable. That's who I want to be. I think that's when we're at our best.
We've been listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to a talk that Brant Hansen gave on the Love Like You Mean It cruise. As Brant is wrapping up this segment of the talk, there's more to come. I get teary because of the significance that God has called men into, the importance of their role. And I'm not sure why it makes me teary, because I long for that, for women, for friends, for the garden, you know?
Yeah, I think what's happening is Brant is tapping into the human DNA that God has put in every single one of us to be the men, be the women he's called us to be. And I think we resonate when we hear it right from scripture that we as men are called to cultivate the garden, to protect the garden, protect the women in the garden. And I mean, I love Brant Hansen because it's so fresh. Mm. You know, so often you think a man is this strong, manly, motorcycle riding, you know, tough guy. And I'm not saying that can't be a part of being a man, but Brant says, that's not what a man is. It's defending the vulnerable. Mm. It's protecting the weak. It's being tender, yet strong. And I think that's what resonates with you.
Maybe so. I mean, I think a couple of weeks ago, we heard the story of our five-year-old grandson was on a playground with his three-year-old sister, and she fell through this wood. And the 5-year-old, Bryce, held on to her and said, "Go get help, go get help." And he held onto her arms and held her up so she didn't fall through. And he kept saying, I'm right here, Autumn, it's okay. When that happened, I got teary too, because I thought, yes, that does resonate with me, for the man to be the protector. And women, we're protecting our kids and so forth, but there is something about that God has designated men to protect.
Yeah, and I think when we live out our God-given identity as men and even as women, everyone tears up, because everyone sees this is what a man was created to do. This is what a woman was created to do. And it's inspiring. And boy, we're only halfway through Brant's talk. I mean, the whole room on the cruise, all of us men were just sitting there. It was pretty quiet.
Was it?
Yeah, because I think we were all like, he is speaking truth from the Word of God. He's given us a vision of what a man is, basically from what Adam failed to do in the garden and what Jesus does. And I think we were inspired to walk out of that ballroom and become and be the men God called us to be.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. If you would like to purchase a CD of today's program, email us at radio@powertochange.org.au or go to the podcast section of our website, families.powertochange.org.au, where you'll find lots of information, news, and resources. You're invited back tomorrow at the same time for another Family Life Today presented by Power to Change in conjunction with this radio station.